en chest til Torna, der vil rette mig. Remember, just remember that we've got time until 6 o'clock this evening. Let's not push our luck.
The questions I'm asking stem largely from an analysis report drawn up by our researcher, which I think he's gone to the trouble of drawing them up, so let's ask them. Quite a lot of this is on the difference in the way the reports, the annual reports, are laid out. And the point that's being made is it's very difficult to compare year to year. So I'd just like your response to that, whether it's possible to standardize and whether we can start seeing the report done in the same way every year so that it's easy to compare year on year. I'm going to be very brief. The time frame for tabling of the amendments to the Mine Health and Safety Amendment, when are we going to see that? I believe you say it's been to Cabinet. Is it out? When is it coming out? In terms of Section 28B of the MPRDA, every holder of a mining right or permit has to submit an audited annual financial report, financial statement. So can you let us know how many of the operating mines submitted such a report in the year in question and how many did not comply with the law? then there's the report on rehabilitation of derelict and ownerless mines. In response to the BRR, the National Treasury proposed that the DMR present a progress report to the committee with regard to the rehabilitation. Mintec and Geoscience have reported in some detail, but are we going to see a comprehensive progress report from the DMR? I think that's about it. I mean, there's plenty more I could ask, but given the restlessness of colleagues, I think stick to that.
Thank you. Let's continue.
Okay. Thank you, Honourable Chairperson and Honourable Members. The other issue which was raised was on inspectors. We have different types of inspectors in the department. We've got mine health and safety inspectors. We've got inspectors who are dedicated, who are focusing on environmental issues. We've got inspectors who are involved with the mine economics matters, and we've got SLP inspectors. So our biggest challenges here are mainly with regards to SLP inspectors and mine health and safety, and also to some extent mine economics. Environment inspectors, we have challenges, but we can handle that. The new proposals, which are still working on at this stage, is to see a situation whereby the department has got a dedicated inspectorate, similar to mine health and safety. Like you have like an inspectors who will be focusing on environment, mine economics, and SLPs grouped together. Then you separate them from people who are processing the application. That is what we are working on, and that will be, we are still engaging the Department of Public Service Administration and National Treasurer on this matter. On the issue of funding for new entrants, certainly a challenge in the mining industry. In countries like Canada, they have addressed it by introducing special funds. It's like an incentive, like a tax incentive, whereby people can invest in exploration activities and they get some form of rebates of some kind. Why did Canada go this route? It's because of the high risk which is involved in mining throughout the whole world, especially at exploration stage. You will rarely find funds which are dedicated to provide funding for greenfield exploration. In fact, what happens there, people use what is called risk money. And that is the area where we have got serious challenges. Once a project has graduated to a point whereby it has reached a feasibility stage, whereby people can now look at the economics of the project in a different way and say, yes, we can make profits here. You often find funds. In fact, a very good project will find funding. That's for sure. Once people have done exploration, properly quantified, the reserves are properly quantified, funds are often found. But what needs to happen here, I think people need to be educated about the whole value chain of mining. Look, if you are going to enter into this greenfield area, you will experience risk. To find, even IDC itself will not enter that environment. In fact, IDC has never entered that environment. What they do, they will find projects which are already graduated to a point whereby they are almost around feasibility stage, where they can see that they can get their funding back. It's the whole world, that's how it operates. The greenfield area is high-risk area where people will put money in terms of the risk which they have assessed. So that's, we have to educate people and say, look here, if you want to get in there, you are going to struggle to get funding. But now our area where we need to focus on is to ensure that we transform the area whereby projects have reached pre-feasibility stages and whereby also projects are even operating, and see how we can ensure that, you know, previously disadvantaged people are empowered. Most of the people that get licenses is in the greenfield environment. There are very few people who are prepared to enter that environment. So that is the biggest challenge. How you can address it? You can also address it by empowering, by funding the Council for Geoscience, if you want to address it. Funding the Council for Geoscience to do detailed mapping so that, you know, attractive areas can be identified. That also can also help. But it is always a serious challenge in terms of finding people in that area. The other issue was on traveling costs. Why have they increased? It is largely because of increased inspections. We really drove the issue of ensuring that mines comply. We have to visit them. We have to get people out there. We must pay S&T. So we must pay costs for this. It costs to inspect the mines. I think that is the message which I would like to leave you with. The other one is the issue of relationship between the department and National Treasury. We have engaged with the National Treasury, especially when it comes to royalties. I did mention it earlier on, whereby we will be transferring the collection of the royalties to SARS, and SARS will now be the competent authority. And I think that will solve a lot of problems when it comes to royalties, because it is certainly important that we ensure that those royalties are collected. And we hope that this process, CFO, could be completed this year of transferring all the remaining royalties from the department to SARS. The issue of investigation on the irregular expenditure, we did certainly investigate the matter. There was a report which was written, and we looked at it, we actioned and the what needs to be done by submitting the information to the relevant authority when it comes to that report. It is there. in the department. On issues of bursaries, I will ask corporate service to talk about it, the selection process, because you must remember we've got different types of bursaries. There are bursaries whereby we collaborate with NQA, like got also internal bursaries. Maybe just explain that area a lot. Maybe you can even touch on the learnership programs which we have started in the department.
Thank you, Didi. Thank you, Didi. Thanks, honorable members. Let me just respond to the first question of bursaries, which was why the drop from 60 to 58? What happened to the two? Well, they were absorbed in the system. They had very, very good marks, for instance, maths and science. But for some odd reason, they dropped out, you know, in the year, these two that I'm referring to. So they just dropped, but they couldn't continue. They couldn't make it. So basically, they failed. They couldn't make the grade.
But the system's not so difficult for them. You can cope, or the counseling measures that you could put in place for them?
Well, they were adverts. You know, they were students' adverts, and obviously they have to follow the curriculum, the VITS curriculum, which I think was very, very difficult for them, although they had very good marks at matric. We don't know what happened, but then they just dropped out. But we thought we could lure them back, you know, maybe to when they were not interested, because I think they found it too difficult. Because they were more in the mining engineering school at VITS, so they simply couldn't make the grade, those two. And the bursaries, the funding of bursaries, there are three, as DG has highlighted. It's our internal bursaries for our staff, the bursaries that we try to facilitate through the MQA. That sometimes is a very difficult process because, you know, the MQA has its own programs as well. So basically, you know, we go with a begging bowl because it's us and mine health and safety, us as corporate services as well as mine health and safety, because we're also trying to meet our objectives, you know, of our ability to train students out there, you know, skills development and things like that. So we try, but as I said, we also tried other programs, like going directly to the mining companies. And this was the process that I explained, that some students actually could not follow the processes, because if the mine say, okay, fine, let the students apply, so we leave it to them, and when they finish, then they notify us to say, yes, we've taken so many, but so many we couldn't take because the processes were not properly followed. This is what happens. So as I said, there are three legs. We've got internal bursaries, MQA, and the ones that we try to identify everywhere, you know, either with mining companies or other institutions that can assist, you know, with providing bursaries. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. The other one relates to the whole issue of turnaround time for applications. I think I'll ask DDG Rapila to just address it. And touch Samra, yeah.
Thanks, DG. Okay, the team as a whole, thanks. Okay. Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson and members. I'll start with SAMRAT, and as the Honorable Chair was indicating, the system as a whole. When the system was first launched, it was launched as an application platform, because at the time, we we needed to begin to implement very important recommendations coming out of the mining sector strategy, as it was called, around repositioning mining in the country to deal with some of the perceived challenges that were identified around the regulatory framework, and drawing on lessons of the first phase of the implementation of the MPRDA. And then honorable members would recall that we went through the whole process of doing the moratorium and everything else. But when the system went live, the platform allowed for the lodging of categories of prospecting rights and mining permits applications. It got upgraded over time to allow for the lodgement of mining rights applications, and later on what you call ancillary applications, which are your Section 11 and Section 102 and other types of applications. The system, drawing on the need to further integrate and work closer with the departments of environmental affairs and water affairs, also got loaded or imbued with data around environmental sensitive areas. And on the other side, we were then increasing its speed and procuring additional hardware for it to cope with the capacity and the demand. Later on, we then imbued the system with the modules to help it better manage Section 91B applications, which are competing applications which must be processed in order of receipt, as the DG was saying earlier on, to counter some of the challenges that we had experienced earlier on around whose application was lodged first. One of the major successes with the system has been to eradicate totally contestation, one around whose application was lodged first, but two, documentation, and as well as perceptions which were there at the time or some time in the past around tampering with documents that were lodged. Because at the moment, if you have lodged a document online, if you say it's not received, the onus is on you to have to come and demonstrate and prove to the regulator that you did upload it, because you do it yourself. In terms of the major project that we're working on at the moment is one is around a major GIS system, which will make navigation and interactive nature of the system a lot better and it to be more user-friendly. Land availability is accessible at the time of lodging an application. And the other area where we are also making improvements around generating the various types of reports for purpose of monitoring the impact of interventions, as well as monitoring the performance of officials. Because as and when they use the system, they have to log on, so they're able to track the movement of an application from the time when it's lodged, because the system has got capabilities of e-signature, amongst others. And the areas where there are challenges, one is around, as the Honorable Chair was indicating, access by people who are in areas where ICT infrastructure is not as modern or advanced as you have in your urban centers in South Africa, continue to be a challenge. And that, I think, as members would recall, often gets raised by, you know, those who operate in the small-scale mining environment. But we are confident that with the kind of funding we're beginning to receive over time, because it's a developmental system, we would get to what we've always envisaged the system to be over time. So that, in a nutshell, I think would explain what the system is all about. Then the other question was around the time frames for processing applications. We had indicated in our annual report, maybe even before I get that, I just need to indicate that the MPRD in its design was meant for a compliant application, which means one where there wouldn't be any issues around you having to go back to applicants to have to rectify some issues, either because there were comments from other state departments and so on and so forth. And due to a need to effectively and continuously enforce or apply PAJA and the to and fro, then has an impact on the extent to which you are then able to process the application within the time frame. Now, as we had indicated in our annual report, we had achieved the target of 61% in the processing of applications for both the mining and the prospecting right, against the target that is set of 70%, precisely because of those challenges around for the need for us to continuously have the engagement with the various applicants. Thanks.
Thank you. I think the issue of retention strategy was also raised. The strategy is there. We were still final in the department. We are still negotiating on the strategy with the employees on it. It is at the bargaining council. They're looking at it. So once that process has been complete, we will make it available to honourable members. And the other one was on the report relating to rehabilitation of ownerless and derelict mines. We will make that report available. And in fact, in that report, we will actually provide with information about the quantification of the liability, because the department has appointed an actual scientist who has been helping us in this process. Earlier on, the Auditor General office indicated that we have solved that matter, because in the past it used to be an issue with the Auditor General. And what we did now is we engage in actual scientists, we sit with them, we go through the process with them, and we can avail also that information from this part of this report on rehabilitation. There was the issue around mine health and safety bill. It certainly has gone to cabinet. It will be gazetted. The minister will still have to go through that process, and it will probably be gazetted in the next week or two weeks or so for public comments. The other issue was the annual report. Why is the annual report like this? We use guidelines from National Treasury. They provide this guideline. And if we deviate from the guidelines, it could be a problem. The issue of the financial reporting by mines, we can provide you with that. We don't have the details here with us. We can provide you with that information. We have covered, unless if we have missed any other. Okay. I think, Chairperson, we have covered, unless if we have missed an issue.
No, I don't think so. Any other issues, members? Okay, I think then in the main, we need to agree on recommendations that we need to add to our report for today, and that's in relation to what we got from the Auditor General, that we should perhaps agree that, you know, the pyramid that they showed us, we try and incorporate it in the next oversight work we're going to do and try and follow that, or have a way of making use of it as our own tool when we do our oversight. Have a way of finding it as a suitable model for oversight work. Then we should look at the issue of the quarterly reports to the portfolio committee, rather than wait until the year ends and get the previous year's report from the Auditor General. We actually receive the quarterly reports from DMR. Whether we're going to sit or we're not going to sit, but those reports must come. Let's agree on that. So that we are then able to monitor activities, even if we are busy with oversight elsewhere, but we know that there's something coming, especially for the from the side of DMR, to ensure that by the time the auditor sits with you or the auditor general does its work with you, the basics of having an internal audit having taken place and signed off. Because I think one of the areas that's a problem is that in terms of the financials, especially when it comes to the entities, the mining industry entities having to give you their reports, there's still a hiccup there. There's a problem there. And in terms of accuracy of what they give you, there's doubts of whether it is a true picture or not. And it's not convincing to the AG. Right? And let's agree now that as soon as your retainment strategy is in place and you are able to come and show us, we will clearly see that you've got so many vacancies in the department. This is how you are going to fill the posts, and the time frames allocated to that. And I remember at some stage you had an issue in terms of not getting enough in terms of the budget. What are you doing about that? The entities, we agreed that your entities must find a way of sitting on a round table so that the struggling entity is able to refer to another entity within yourselves first before you go out elsewhere in attaining measures, remedy measures as to how the one can learn from the other on how to improve their management. The other issue that's quite a topic is the issue of capacity. Let's get an understanding of what the department is saying and what are the hiccups there in discussions around that. Because we still haven't come to a point where at least we've got enough inspectors, isn't it, to can cover the whole country. And there's still a lot of mines that we are still not touching. So let's agree that around those areas, we will soon get a report to get an indication of what plan do you have in place in remedying that. And you have promised us the report on the investigation that's being done on the fruitless and wasteful expenditure. But most important is that the reports that will then be forwarded to us must have already passed and been reviewed by the DG, and they must have been signed off by the by your internal audit. Can we agree on this? Anything else, members? The anything else is the systems, ne? Just try and perhaps later we could even request it. Let's try and find out. Let it be our own work as oversight and yourselves internally. What exactly is happening in terms of alignment of your integrated financial management system with yourselves as DMR in trying to improve the issuing of licenses, in trying to improve that all other systems within the department are functional, optimally functional. Because at the end of the day, if those programs don't talk to each other, then I'm going to be seated with the question as whatever happened to that program. Because when I came into Parliament 4 years ago, that program had already started and there was a lot of money being spent on that. And at the time, it was being run with Treasury, with the State Information Technology Agency. What's going on around that for the systems to start talking to each other? And I remember very well that the bus system was a major system for most of the departments to start getting integrated. Otherwise, I get the feeling that you're not really going to clean up your audit if you don't get that right. On that note, I'm sure we had a long day. Thank you very much. Well appreciated report. We're happy to see that at least at the end of it, we can see great improvement and growth from some of us even. And let's hope the MPRDA will carry us through as well. Thank you very much. The meeting is adjourned.